Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the Principal Advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide a market update with returns through the end of December. In summary, the market is up again. I also provide this monthly market update as a blog post, which you can reference on my website, along with graphs that I'll reference here today. The general format that I'll use here in the new year of 2024 is the same as 2023. That will be updating the major market asset classes and any noteworthy moves. Going to give you an update on the Treasury market and interest rates, quick comments about the actions from the Federal Reserve, and then finally any special topics. This month will be a reminder of tax planning as a year-end activity, throughout the year activity, not just year-end. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So the month of December, in summary, was a repeat of the month of November. Recall last month, after the November 1st FOMC meeting, markets really started taking off, had a very strong return in November, and that continued in December. Looking at the table at the top of my blog post, you'll see that everything is positive except for commodities. Not as high as the month of November, but still very solid. So, you know, U.S. equity large cap, 5%, international equity in that 4 to 5% range. Bonds were up, et cetera. A couple of noteworthy moves that exceeded even those high numbers. One, U.S. small caps just ripped. They were up close to 12%, and that is for the month alone. So a one-month return, small caps up 12%. I want to talk about what's happening the first part of the year here in a second, but through the end of the year, small caps on fire. The other thing that surprises me, many things surprised me, but the other asset class was REITs. Remember those commercial real estate properties and, you know, bad things were happening after COVID? Well, for the month alone, those were up close to 10%, over 10 for the U.S. market, 9% for global, bringing the year-to-date number for that asset class at 14%. So pretty surprising from that asset class in my perspective. And then the other thing that stood out, the other high number, 30-year treasuries, the index, the 30-year treasury index, that was up close to 9%. Again, month-alone numbers we're talking here. So, you know, pretty big moves overall for everything, and those three stood out to me to get my attention. There is that one solo red line on the graph, and that's going to be commodities yet again. So they were down 2.7% for the month and bringing the year-to-date total close to 8% negative. So that was the one. Again, they're, I guess, surprising to the negative side, given the turmoil going on in the Middle East. You know, oil has stayed pretty stable, given all the stuff that's going on over there. One thing I don't have on my blog post, but just a comment. The other notable thing is the dispersion between growth versus value still remains very pronounced into the end of the year. So different companies will define value and growth differently. Just a quick numbers looking at the Vanguard definitions, the VUG versus the VTV, that was very wide dispersion, you know, around 40% for growth versus, say, 9% for value. And for the S&P definition, there are some year-end numbers. Growth was about 32%, whereas value was 20%. So still a wide dispersion, but depending upon which fund family of the value funds you were using. But that was worth noting as well. Back to my blog post. Well, I guess back to the blog post, yeah, with the table. So normally I don't rattle these off, but since it is end of the year, just a brief rundown on year-to-date numbers for 2023. U.S. large caps about 26.5%, small caps about 18.5%, international developed markets, think Japan, Europe, Australia, Far East, up 18.25%, let's call it. Emerging markets, international, just under 10%. Treasury bonds, depends upon the duration, but let's call it anywhere from 2 to 4%. On the corporate and muni bonds, again, munis and investment-grade corporates around that, you know, 6 to 8% range. Again, total returns, that includes dividends and interest reinvested. Again, I already mentioned that surprisingly high yield bonds up 13.4. International bonds, I only look at focus on the currency hedged. You don't get paid a lot of you don't get paid enough, in my opinion, to take on currency risk in the bond international market. So the currency hedged global bond index was up 8.3%. And then the REITs, like I mentioned, year-to-date, 14% for the U.S. and about 5% for the international. And then the commodities were down 8%-ish. Cash, as you know by now, because I've been harping on it for a while, make sure your bank savings are being put to work. The cash, one to three-month Treasury cash index was up 5.14, to be exact, for the month, for the year-to-date numbers. Then the next topic, I typically switch over to the graph on my blog post, which shows similar asset class returns. I use ETFs so that if you want to, you know, check them out for yourself at home, you can. So I list the ETFs that I grab, and there, you know, shows it for the full year. So you get an idea of how the market, not only where it's at the end of the year, which I just rattled off those numbers, but the path that it took to get there. So just broadly speaking terms here, again, you may recall that toward the end of July was that last relative peak where things were running pretty hot in the month of June and July, no pun intended. And then things cooled off. You know, the market started realizing the Fed may not be cutting rates next year as much and maybe even raising them more. So the market pulled back pretty substantially, hitting that low late October. And then again, two Fed meetings that just caused this latest rip, and I mean a big rip. So November 1st meeting, market perceived the Fed as pretty dovish. I didn't think they were, but the market perceived that way. But then the December 13th meeting, which I'll get to in a second here, but very dovish meeting, in my opinion, and the market really took off there. So end of the year numbers ran pretty high. Most asset classes exceeded those relative end of July peaks. Just looking at the graph again, two asset classes that ran really, really hard in December were those small caps and the REITs that I mentioned already. But I also, on the graph, included the first 2 days of 2024 here. So, you know, definitely, you know, some strange things can happen at year end. A lot of people don't want to, if it's a strong year, they don't want to sell. They don't want to sell winners and take gains. And so, and then it was just, you know, lighter liquidity and the strong runs. And so looking at the first 2 days, the graph shows the first 2 days of 2024. And I have the benefit of looking at it even today, but the market is definitely pulling back as we enter into 2024 here. So yes, it's been a great run in the last year, but a lot of it, in my opinion, was a bit overdone, overbought. And so we're pulling back noticeably as we start this year. The two biggest the two biggest pullbacks this year, by no surprise, the two asset classes that really took off into last year, and that is the small caps pulled back quite hard, along with the REITs as well, looking at the graph on my blog post. Shifting now over to the treasury market, the interest rate market, and I use treasuries to summarize that. Again, last month was the surprise. The market interest rates were falling during the month of November, and that continued again in the month of December. So didn't fall as far, but pretty big move in the bond market space. Long end, talking 10-year and 30-year treasury yields, fell about 0.35%, 35 basis points. And we're now back to the end of July levels. And so I bring that up because starting in the end of July, early August, there were a couple of, you know, the Treasury announced they were going to be issuing more bonds instead of bills and had a bigger deficit. And the market kind of was starting to price in maybe the Fed's not going to be as easy in 2024. And so end of July was when interest rates really took off and just, you know, ripped pretty high from a rate perspective, went up pretty high. So that stopped at the beginning of November with the Fed meetings we talked about, and has come back down. And so it's now back to those end of July levels. And so just making note of it, it was gave up all of those runs we had. But think back, you know, when you saw those rates rising in, you know, early August and throughout August and September, at the time it made sense. You know, the rates were quite low for a while. We have a lot of deficit with a lot of debt issues that we have to resolve. And so it made sense, at least to me anyway. And so, you know, we've now taken that out. And so we'll have to see if part of that market starts to price back in some of those concerns that they had that are still with us, in my opinion. It's hard to see on the graph on my blog post. It's a 5-year graph for context, but you know, I drill and look at this stuff closer. Looking at a 1-year, even a 6-month view, you do have rates are starting to tick back up a little bit here. So again, you don't kind of hard to see it, but you know, we're definitely moving back up in rates, i.e., bond prices falling, just like equities are pulling back at the start of 2024 here. So that is the brief summary of the Treasury market. I don't show the graph. Last month I talked about credit spreads. They're still pretty tight. So in general, again, the year-end risk on, the market got quite giddy, and that included the bond market as well. So spreads are still pretty tight. I remain patient here. I do think things might give a bit. We do have a lot of, according to experts, I'm not one myself, but a lot of bond issuance coming from corporates, from what the strategists and experts are saying. So maybe some opportunities in this first quarter, just as new issues come out on the corporate side. And obviously on the Treasury side, that does continue to issue because we've got a big deficit to fund. Recall at the end of November or beginning of November, the Treasury announced, they do it every quarter, so the next one's coming in end of February, early March. They announce how they're going to fund these deficits. And at the end of November, they were going to do more T-bills than the longer bonds. So we'll have to see what they say and then what the market expects them to say, more importantly, soon. And then just as a brief reminder, I've been saying it for a while now, but the Treasury is rolling off their balance sheet. They're letting $95 billion roll off every month, $60 billion treasuries and $35 billion mortgage-backed securities. So that is still going on. So let's keep that in mind as pricing pressures on treasuries. Now moving to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, what they call pivoted. So what that means is whatever they were telling us up to this point, if they suddenly change their tune, kind of did a 180, they call that the Fed pivot. The Fed pivoted pretty hard. People thought that the November 1 FOMC meeting was dovish. I didn't quite see it that way. I thought that Powell was consistent at that meeting, talking about his concerns of inflation. They're going to stay higher for longer, et cetera, et cetera. But definitely this December 13th meeting, this last meeting, I would agree it was a pivot. You know, the Powell surprised me. I think it surprised a lot of market participants. Very dovish, had a chance to talk some of that stuff back at the following press conference, and he didn't do it. And so definitely the Fed changed their tune, in my opinion, here in December. What was interesting, though, is the week following, a couple of Fed officials came out with some speeches and tried to talk some of that back. And so we'll have to see what happens as we go along. But in summary, the FOMC put out their summary of economic projections. They put them out 4 times a year. And I have a link in my blog post to bring you to the table. So the main thing that caught everyone's attention was the Fed funds target at the end of 24. So the September projection, again, the current rate is 5.25 to 5.5 as our rate. At the end of September, they projected that that rate would be in that 5.125 range. So pretty much maybe pricing in one rate cut for 2024 at the last update in September. This December meeting, they released it, and it's all the way down to 4.6. So they're actually pricing in 2 more rate cuts, I shouldn't say pricing. The FOMC collects the estimates of their 19 or 18 members. I forget how many it is. And they summarize it in this table. So it is the collective estimate of where the participants think Fed funds rate will be at the end of different points in time. You'll see on the link in the table. But in September, they thought end of 24 would have been 5.1. Now that collective average number is at 4.6. So that's when I said they priced in 2 more rate cuts in their projections. So that was a surprise. That definitely is a change from the higher for longer. And then the other surprising thing, it's like, well, I looked up at the economic projections, you know, was there something to support that? And not really, in my opinion. I mean, they did lower their inflation by a tick, 0.1%. But they kept unemployment, you know, pretty strong, 4.1% at the end of this year unemployment rate, and pretty solid GDP growth. So pretty strange in my opinion. The market was already pricing in three or four cuts before the meeting. And so, like, as the market is wont to do, they took their three cuts that the summary of economic projections showed, and they saw that and raised you one. So they priced in about six cuts for 2024. So definitely the market got very excited, loved it. Interest rates collapsed quite a bit that day, and that also was the start of the equity rally that we just talked about earlier here. So that is the Fed meeting. I guess the last thing I show on my website, I love the CME FedWatch tool. I grabbed the March meeting. So March 20th of 2024 is the, there's a meeting at the end of this month, but then the one after that. So the market was starting to price in. That would be when the first rate cut would happen. And again, consistent with the year-end giddiness, there's about a 75% chance implied by the pricing that there would be the first cut happening at the March meeting. Again, these first couple days of the new year, the market has taken out some of that, so it's now down to 60%. That does not reflect today's jobs number report yet, so I suspect it's going to be even more. So anyway, that's where we're at. The market was pricing in quite a bit of cut activity, but if the jobs market remains strong, wage inflation remains higher than expected, and we'll get the CPI print next week. Watch inflation and see if the Fed actually can move as much as the market is expecting. I personally don't think they will, but that's just one man's view. And then finally, the special topic for this month, not a deep topic, but it was a busy year end. So obviously it's always busy with the year end moves, contributions, tax loss harvesting, et cetera. But I want to take this opportunity just to remind people that tax planning should be a year round topic, not just a year end topic. So obviously, you want to do those things at year end and fine tune things. But there's many things you should do. I mean, one, be aware of your marginal tax bracket, both at income levels as well as capital gains levels. Be aware if you are on Medicare, paying Medicare premiums, be aware of IRMA. If you don't know what that means, look it up or give me a call. It's the income related monthly adjustment amounts. They basically grab more premium from you if your income is too high. And then also just be proactive on your tax loss harvesting throughout the year. You don't have to wait till the end of the year. Sometimes when the market moves in big ways, you want to capture that, in January or February. You don't have to wait till the end of the year. And then if people have the extra cash, if they want to get a jump start on 2024 contributions, you can. That gate is now open. And for those who haven't done 2023 yet, for individual IRAs and HSAs, that window is still open for the 2023 tax year. That's open through April 15th, or if you file extensions, up to your extension. So tax planning is fun. A lot of value can be picked up. Look at it. If you don't like it or don't enjoy it, give us a call. But it's something that everyone should make sure you stay on top of. So in summary, December looked a lot like November in the markets. Strong runs, risk on into the end of the year. But again, with the benefit of looking at the first couple of days of this 2024 here, things are pulling back again after a very strong run. Rates continue to fall in the month of December, so we're kind of back to those late July levels, which that's what they are, around 4% on the. Let me get the exact numbers for you here. So this is as of January 3rd. So the 10-year is at 3.91. 10-year Treasury 3.91 at the end of day on January 3rd. 30-year is at 4.05, and the 2-year is at 4.33. So back to the kind of July levels. See what happens going forward. The FOMC came out, and they were quite dovish. I'm going to call it a pivot. They're pricing in or expecting now collective wisdom of 3 rate cuts in 24. But again, we'll have to see what the data shows us. And then finally, tax planning. It's a year-round thing, so have fun with it. And if you have questions, reach out for help. And also, finally, Happy New Year. Enjoy the new year. All right, that's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.